listen to the words when I think about the Lord. Pray for Mandy as she sings.
How he filled me with the Holy Ghost. How he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around. How he placed my feet on solid ground. Jesus, oh. a shout, hallelujah!
Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for that good singing. We want to do a little something different this morning before we get into the message. We want to ask Brother Greg if he would come up. We want all our deacons that are going to be active deacons through this next year, if you would, to come up with us. We just want to introduce you to the church. Sometimes we get questions about, well, who's my deacon? I want to give you a name and a face this morning. And I'm going to turn it over to Brother Greg. Let him, if you want to come on up.
You are? Oh, yeah. So some of us are rolling off, but this is going to be your deacon board, the ones that are here for 2015, 2016, the end of 2016. And we got a couple of guys that are coming on board, the ones we want to present to you, the guys that are that you guys selected as a church body that are coming on board this year. And we got Brother Richard and Brother Owen, amen, who are going to be scheduled to be ordained in the next few weeks. So as soon as we get that on the calendar, make sure you're here for that. It's going to be on Sunday night. And what a, I don't know the word for it, what an awesome ceremony that is. So it was, we give it all to God, and we're here to serve God. Amen. You know, and one of the questions that we were talking to these guys about the other night was, do the deacons run the church? You know, no, they don't. You know, the church, the people run the church, but God is the full supreme authority. Jesus Christ is our supreme authority, and we put everything in front of the church for a vote. So that's the way this church runs. So. But we're here to serve the pastor. Okay. You want me to give everybody's name? I don't know if I know all these guys.
Put me on the spot with college.
Brother Owen Clark, he's coming on board to be ordained as a deacon. Brother Terry Hayes, Brother Ken Lamb, Brother Keith Davis, Brother Tom Payne, Brother Kevin Hart, takes me a minute sometimes, I'm getting a little old. Brother Richard Driscoll, and we have several people who aren't here. Jerry Gassett, Alan Davis, Preston Morgan, who's up there in the booth up there, and Perry Boggs. Ricky Mahan. All right, good, yeah. See, y'all know him. I just wanted to make sure, you know, if you haven't heard from your deacon.
Hey, thank you, Cindy.
If you haven't heard from your deacon, haven't called you or whatever, now you know who they look like. You know who to chase down. So, and want to make sure. That's what we work here. We work a family support. Each deacon's assigned 10 or 12 families that they're supposed to contact each week. Or each month, not each week, but or make sure they see you here in church or check on you. You know, if you got something going on, you need some prayer about. These are the guys you need to call, and they get with us. And if it's something a private matter, they keep it between you and them. You know, and but we still put whatever it is in front of the Lord for prayer. So, but we want to do that and let you know who these guys are. I thought that's the main thing we want to do.
Amen.
So, thank you, guys.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming up. Appreciate Brother Greg. Brother Greg is rolling off of the deacon board, but Greg has been the chairman, and Brother Greg's done a great job. Amen. As chairman, and we appreciate him, and it's time to elect a new chairman. You know, I think everything you do in the house of the Lord needs to be done prayerfully. Needs to be done for the honor and glory of God. As he said, well, deacons don't run the church. Well, guess what? The pastor don't either. Who should run the church? God. Not me, not you, not the deacons, but God. You know why we get in trouble in church sometimes? People think they want to do it their way. They want to get ahead of God. They want to do what they want, and they're not listening. We got to listen to God and let God direct us. And when we do that, and we do it honestly, you know, what's the old saying I say? It's not about me. It's about Him. You know, I'm so thankful for what God's doing in this church. It's an honor for me. When I begin to think about the things that I'm thankful for, folks, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that God gave me the opportunity to come here and just to work with you and to serve with you. And what my goal is, and I've said this before, and I look over here and I see how God has blessed our young people. We need some more chairs over there. And then I see what God's doing in this church, and I see the different ministries. And Brother Tom mentioned to me that at the jail this past week, we had 9 people rededicate their life to the Lord. And we appreciate those who serve in those ministries. Now, it takes a lot of people to do what's going on around here. You know, we said we were going to vote to raise and double everybody's salary. Maybe we'd get a little more out of them. But you know, it takes a lot of people working hard. Amen. You know, when we look at the youth and how God is blessing our youth, and I tell you, I was really impressed with the drama. And, you know, I see what God is doing there, and we have a service for them over here every Wednesday night they meet, but we have an actual service in here every third Wednesday night. And the way God has blessed our youth band and our youth choir, and the way God has blessed Nawana and Sunday school, had a conversation this morning, we need another Sunday school class. We got to figure out where we're going to put that Sunday school class. But we're going to do that. We're praying about that because God has provided people who need a Sunday school class. So there's so much to be thankful for. And, you know, if you want to work in a church, this is the place. As we mentioned, the bake sale, they're going to hit you at the door when you go out. So just go ahead and get a couple dollars out. I mean, you know, just, you know, everything that you're giving and you're buying, you can take home. And if you're, you know, you can eat it. But you know what they're going to do with that money? They're going to buy presents for kids. Yeah. That might not get anything otherwise. It is Thanksgiving. I like the little sign they had up there. We give thanks to God. Now, folks, Thanksgiving is not Turkey Day. I was looking in the dictionary. I got several dictionaries at work. And it's amazing how when you look in different dictionaries, you find different definitions of what Thanksgiving is. I just like to look and see what people are writing. And I read one, and of course, it's a national holiday that's set by, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and it's on the last Thursday or something like that of the month. And, you know, and back in those days, I forgot the year. Okay, that's fine. Then I looked at one that was the American Heritage Dictionary, and it said, Thanksgiving is a day that is set aside where we give thanks to God for His goodness to us. Now, I want to tell you this morning, the message I want to try to share with you is be thankful to God. It's not just be thankful, but be thankful to God. Yeah. Don't forget where your blessings come from. And I want to tell you this before I get into this. We're going to read in Psalms chapter number 100 and in Psalms chapter number 116. But I want to go ahead and tell you that to be a Christian and to be right with God is not politically correct. Okay, because if you're a Christian and you're right with God, I want to tell you, there's just one God. And His name's not Allah. And I want to tell you, it's not Buddha. And there's one, and the Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And you know, there is really no room to compromise. It's not like, well, we can have Thanksgiving and we can have an interdenominational worship service where everybody comes together. I want to tell you, if you're bowing to any other God other than God the Father, Jehovah, and His Son, Jesus Christ, you're worshiping a false God. And when we give thanks to God because if we have blessings, they come from Him. The breath of life, the sunshine, everything that we have, it comes from God. And we ought to give thanks to Him. Now I want to read this chapter, which is Psalms chapter number 100. If you'll stand with me for just a minute, We're just going to read these five verses, and then I'll let you be seated. But it's a call to praise the Lord, and He is worthy of our praise. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, or all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for allowing us to be in Your house this morning. Thank You, God, for this gathering of Your people. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for the workers that You've sent here, Lord, and God, for what You're allowing us to accomplish. But Lord, we wouldn't be able to do anything, God, if it weren't for You. We wouldn't have what we have. So we do thank You, Lord. And we lift You up, and we want to honor You, God, with our words this morning. God, give me only those words You'd have me to speak. And God, help me to follow closely Your Holy Spirit. God, if there's anybody here that's not right with You, that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, or maybe, God, that's walking in a place that they need to be in Your fellowship, God, would You reach to them, touch their heart, and draw them close to You this morning, that they might be saved, that they might walk in fellowship with You. God, we're thankful, and God, we praise You. And Lord, what we pray, we ask specifically in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, you may be seated. Now, first thing I want to look at this morning, and I want to try to go through these because I want to get to something that's really on my heart. The first thing is, who do we thank? Well, we thank the one true God, and there's only one God, okay? I believe that with all my heart. Now, we're living in a time today that we're so politically correct, they don't want to offend anybody about anything unless you're a Christian and then you're mocked and made fun of. Okay, it's almost like it's better to be a part of one of these radical groups than it is to be a Christian and live for God. You know, we're made fun of for everything that we do. I've had people make fun of me because I did not do things that were wrong. You know, I can remember when I was in school, and even after I got out of school, sometimes thinking, well, when I get away from school, there won't be any more peer pressure. Then I got over there in the construction business working around guys that were in their 20s, and I saw everything in the world there was to see. And they made fun of me because I did not do what they did. You know, here's one thing about Christianity. Everybody wants to go to heaven, and they want to say they believe in God, but they don't want to serve God. Right. You know, but we worship one true God. Now, it says right here in Psalms 100, verse 3, in the first part of the verse, it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Okay, there is no equal, there is no separate, there is nothing that's anything like Him, nor anything that's ever going to be like Him. And here's one thing I want you to understand about every religion of the world that's not a religion. It teaches you that salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's the only one. Everything else is a cult, and it comes from the devil. That's why Christianity is not politically correct, because you can't read this book and believe that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, no man cometh unto the Father except by Me. There's nobody else. He's not a prophet or one of the prophets. He's Lord and He's God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. There's only one, okay? Now, we don't bow to just any God. And even when we say the blessing, I mean, I hope you're teaching your children to say the blessing. You know, a lot of times we're so busy. Here's the way we eat around my house. Is we come in, and sometimes we just got so much going on. The kids are getting it, and they got my boy, he'll go to the fireplace. And he'll sit down right by the fireplace, and he's got his video, and it's so bad my wife has actually had to clean it with a toothbrush, you know, to get the spaghetti sauce and the gravy and all that stuff. But a lot of times he'll go in there and sit down, and we're fixing irons, and one's going this way and one's got homework. But I say, son, say your blessing. Say your blessing. You know, I want my children to know when they are in need to talk to Jesus. And when we pray, that's why the scripture says if we ask anything, we ask in Jesus' name. You ever thought about why? Now, when I come before the Lord and I ask, if I ask in my name, I am absolutely unworthy to receive anything from God. But when I go before God the Father and I pray in Jesus' name, He has to hear me because Jesus is the intercessor that stands between me and God. And when He sees me through the veil of Christ. So I ask in Jesus' name because Jesus is worthy. One true God. One true God, He is one Lord, He is also our Creator. Doesn't it say in Psalms 100, the latter part of the third verse, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. You ever heard anybody say, well, I'm a self-made man?
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I had a tough life. I grew up and I wanted to do something different and I worked hard. And I worked and I washed dishes and I went to college. And I am where I am today because I worked hard and I achieved it. I want you to understand something. You're where you are today because God's still giving you breath in your lungs.
Amen.
Now, yeah, you got to work hard and you ought to do your part. Well, when the man was there and he was blind, he put the salve and he anointed his eyes. He said, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, you need to do your part, but you need to realize you wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't from God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
I was talking to my son the other day, and we were playing basketball, and I asked him a question. He said, Dad, I've never thought about that. And here's what I asked him. I said, he was talking about how good, he's got 20/25 vision or something like that. It likes to remind me when I get my glasses, I can't see where I'm going, I run into the wall. And I was talking to him, and he's playing basketball, and he's doing a good job. And I was saying, son, God's blessed you. God's blessed you with a good mind. God's blessed you with excellent eyesight. I said, you're a good-looking boy. Live your life for God. And then I looked at him and I asked him, I said, have you ever thought about you could have been born a fat, short girl? And when I said that, he looked at me and he said, Dad, I never thought about changing my gender. I said, that's not the point. That's not. Do you realize that you sitting here this morning, you didn't decide anything. You didn't decide to be born black or white. You didn't decide to be born Caucasian or Mongoloid. You didn't decide to be born male or female. You didn't determine that you would have the talents you have. What you have is a gift from God. He is our Creator and not we ourselves. If I have the ability to remember and to stand and preach, it's not because I'm great. It's because He has commissioned me and given it to me. And it's my responsibility to give it back to Him. He is the one who created us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, we thank Him. He's one God. He's our Creator. He's also our Provider. Now, folks, Psalms 103 in the latter part of the verse, it says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And you can go to Psalms 23 and you can read where David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And you can look at the relationship between David and God the Father. Now, I'm not telling you that God loves you, just lay in the bed in the morning, don't go to work, everything will be all right. No, you need to get up and you need to go to work. And the truth is, a lot of times people need to get up and go whether they feel like it or not. I don't ever feel like it. I just do it. But you know, when I get down into that job, if I get a promotion, I don't go around saying it's because I'm smart. It's because I'm better than so-and-so. It's because I went to school here, I did that. I tell you why, it's because God has blessed you. He knows how to lift one up and He knows how to put another one down. And all you got to do is get a little pride in your heart and you'll realize where your blessings come from. See, because if you've been saved by the grace of God, God cares more about your character than He does about what's on your table. And sometimes what He has the ability to do is snatch the rug right out from under us so we can realize that He is the one who lifts one up and pushes another down. He's our Provider. I don't look to that company, I look up. It comes from God. He is the one. Now, I'm going to do my part. You need to do your part. But realize your blessings come from God. Now, that's who we thank. Why do we thank Him? Why do we thank God? Well, I want to tell you, He is God, okay? You ever had a conversation with somebody? I do us all the time. And they come to me and think because I'm the pastor, I know everything. I don't know nothing. I'll tell you what I know. I can tell you what I know is what God has blessed me to walk through in my life. And I got this little thing in that iPad that I can look up scripture real quick. I can't remember it all anymore. It's kind of like Brother Greg when he was up here calling those names out. Brother, I was glad you did that because I was afraid I'd have to. Now I know everybody's name. Do y'all remember a 286 computer? Anybody here even remember that? Some of you young people ain't got no idea what I'm talking about. But I remember a computer when it first came out, you had a 5-inch floppy disk. And that thing was like this, and you'd stick it in there, and you'd take it out, and you'd put another one in there. And I remember I bought my first laptop online. I looked at this magazine and ordered it, and it was about that thick. It looked like it was about 10 pounds. It was a 286. And you know, you could put information in that thing, and you'd hit a button. Now, the information was in there, but it'd take it a while to come up. That's the way my mind is. I know everybody's name, but you got to stand there and I say, it's working.
It's working. It don't get no better.
But sometimes people ask questions and they think it's not all in there. Here's what I want you to understand, and this is something very important in your relationship if you're ever going to really grow with the Lord, is you're not going to have all the answers. But you must believe that He does. And you must believe, just like the Scripture tells us, that He seeks our best and He seeks what's right for us. And He knows what's best for us more than we know what's right for us. We thank Him because He is God and because the Word of God commands us to do so. That's what the Word of God says. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? No other reason. Because He's God. He's God. And I want you to look at the 100th chapter in the first part of the 5th verse. And I want you to think about these. It says, for the Lord is good. Now I don't know about you, but God has been better to me than I've been to Him. He's been so much better to me than I've been to Him. It's almost like, and I know people who have relationships like this, where you have two partners and one of them is rough on the other one, but the other one is just, you know, the good partner is just so long-suffering. They're so kind, and they love them through their tough times, and they love them anyway in spite of the situation. I want to tell you something. That's the way I feel about my relationship with God. I'm so glad that He loved me. And this, I was thinking about this morning, and I was praying, and I said, God, You knew that I'd do that. Do you know that everything that you do, God knows that you're going to do that?
Yeah.
And when God blesses you today, He already knows tomorrow that you may be going to do this thing out here. But He's God, and He's good, and He loves you, and He blesses you because the Lord is good. There's a prayer that the kids say, and I like this prayer. It says, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we are fed. Thank You, Lord, for daily bread. Amen. Now, God is good. And we should thank Him because He's good. But what about this next one in this 5th verse? It says, His mercy is everlasting. I am thankful for the mercy of God. You see, because if God weren't merciful, I probably wouldn't be here this morning. You see, sometimes people say, and it's almost like this, I want what I deserve. You know, maybe they were passed up for a promotion at work, or they worked hard and they didn't get the credit. By the way, all glory goes to God, right? I didn't want what I deserve. See, here's what mercy is. Mercy is getting what you do not deserve. Mercy is when you come up before the judge and you're guilty as charged, but in steps one that says, I will take all of their punishment upon myself, and they say, what makes you worthy? And he points to the cross. See, mercy is getting what you do not deserve. And I want to tell you something else. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And I'm so thankful for God's mercy. The more I look at my life and I look at my relationship with Him, I want to serve Him. But I want to tell you something. There are sometimes that I don't act like it. You think, well, you're the pastor. I'm a man. Just like you. And there are times that I have to come before the Lord and I have to say I'm sorry. There are times that I come in and I'm dealing with my kids and they won't do their homework and I'm aggravated and tired. It don't matter. Sometimes I get out of line and I have to say I'm sorry. There are times that my wife will say something to me and I'll say something back. And you know what I have to do? I have to say I'm sorry. There are times I'm going down the road and I'm in that traffic and I'm around all those pagans. And you know what I have to do when I get home? I have to say, God, I'm sorry. And I want to tell you something. Every time I bow before Him and He reminds me, you know how God reminds me that I'm His? It's when that Holy Spirit comes and it convicts my heart and it draws me to repentance, to realize that it matters how you act. You're a child of God. Amen. And I say, Lord, have mercy. And He shows me scripture like this. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And in Psalms 117, chapter 2, in the first part of the verse, it says, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. You see, we ought to thank Him because He's good, because His mercy is everlasting. And I like this one too, in the latter part of the fifth verse. Says, because His truth endureth forever. Now, folks, that matters. That really matters in the day and time that we're living in, to where truth ultimately is trying, and they're attempting to redefine it. You know that there are certain things in the history books that it's not that it's necessarily being rewritten, but it's not even being taught anymore. You know, it's all this stuff about, you know, and I get tired of hearing this. That's unconstitutional. You ever get tired of hearing that? I said, these pagans don't know what constitutional means because they hadn't read history to understand that this was written by people who feared God. They wanted us to understand that we have rights given to us, certain uninalienable rights given to us by our what? Our Creator. They don't know what constitutional means. And then they want to write something into law that's absolutely against the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Can I tell you that His truth endures forever?
Wow. Yeah.
He's been good to me. But I'm thankful that God has not changed. See, that's the character that God has. His truth will stand the test of time. It doesn't matter what the world does. People come and go. And one thing for certain, everything changes.
Amen.
Except the Word of God.
Amen.
His truth endures forever. Psalms 117, chapter 2, in the latter part of the verse, says, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. There's a song in the Red Book. It says, give me that old time religion. And there's a line in there that I was thinking about this morning. It says, it was good for our fathers. It was good for our mothers. And then it goes on to say, it's good enough for me. You know, my dad was a preacher, a fine man. Of course, my mother's here. Glad to have my mother in church this morning. But I can remember growing up hearing Victory in Jesus. Still hearing it today. I can remember growing up hearing preaching that Jesus is coming. Still hearing it today. You know, but I want to tell you something, and we need to realize this. Even if Jesus don't come in your lifetime's going to be over, and you're going to Him.
Yeah.
Or where you're going to eternal separation from God. One thing is, they might change in the White House, and they might change things and say it's unconstitutional, but I want to tell you one thing. The Word of God has not changed. It's not going to change. Because His truth, it endures forever, amen? I'll tell you another reason to be thankful. Because of His many benefits. In Psalms 103, chapter 2, And we're going to get into this a little bit deeper in a minute. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are a lot of benefits to being a Christian. In Psalms 116:12, it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, when you stop and think about that, all the benefits, what are you thankful for? What benefits has God given you? You know, sometimes the reason people are walking in darkness is because they're standing in the shadow of their own sunshine. What does that mean? You know, a lot of times the reason we can't receive the benefits of God is because we've walked away from Him. It's almost like I have no desire to be in His presence, and then you wonder why He's not blessing everything that you're doing. But I want to tell you something. Walking with the Lord has many, many, many benefits. Now, I want to talk a little bit this morning about how we thank Him. What does it mean to be thankful? How can you tell when someone is thankful? You stop and think about that for just a minute. You know, a person who is really thankful, they are appreciative and they are grateful. Have you ever walked up to somebody and hand them something, and when you give it to them, you know without a shadow of a doubt, they really do appreciate what you've done. But then you walk up to somebody and you give them something and they say, thank you, but you just don't feel it. You just don't feel it. And I begin to think about that, and I thought about what is thankfulness, and I thought about our relationship with God, and God gave me these thoughts of three ways thankfulness is expressed. And I want to share this with you in closing. The first one, the way you express thankfulness, is that they tell you. And this is the expression of language or voice. It's what we speak. That's why sometimes when we pray out loud a prayer of thanks, that's what Thanksgiving was. They come together and they set the table. And, you know, I can just imagine the things that were on the table there when the first Puritans and Pilgrims come together. But harvest, God had blessed them. And God had been good to them. And they sat down and they prayed a prayer of thanks. And they prayed it to the God of heaven. That's vocal. In Matthew 15:36, Jesus gave us the same example when he took, remember the loaves, and he took them. And it says, and Jesus took the seven loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks. Now, we know he blessed in another place that said he broke and he lifted up and he gave thanks. But Jesus gave thanks. And now here's one thing to understand. He was God come to earth to become a man, but he lifted it up and he gave us the example that we should thank God. That's verbally. It is a word of thanks that's thank you. As someone shared this with me, and I'll share the same thing. I mentioned a few weeks ago how when I was out, you know, fishing when I was just a boy with my dad, one of the other preachers of the church, you know, the preacher hung a fish and he reeled it in and he smiled and he said, I believe this is one of God's ways of blessing a man. Well, not everybody likes to fish. Y'all know I love the woods. Not everybody likes the woods. Some of you wouldn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go climb 30 foot up a tree for a $500 bill. But I want to tell you, I heard a fisherman say this. He said, every time he lifted up a little bass in the boat, doesn't matter whether it's that big or that big, he says, thank you, Lord. I want to tell you something. I've never been out in the woods and harvest one of those big old bucks that I do more than that. I say, woo, praise God. Woo, praise the Lord. You know why? You know, sometimes people think they have what they have because of them. Do you ever think that maybe God loves you enough that He sends you blessings? Do you tell Him thank you? Now, you ladies, on Black Friday, when you're the one that gets the best deal, do you say thank you, Lord? Y'all gonna get your opportunity? But do you thank God? When your kids have something at school and it goes well, or maybe a play or a project, do you say, that's my kid, he's smarter than all the rest? Or do you say, thank you, Lord? We should say, thank you, Lord. Whatever you have, whatever blessings you have, you should tell Him, okay? No, so it's an expression of voice, but I want to give you number two. Not only do they tell you, but they act like it. That is an expression of attitude. of attitude. You see, Paul gave us an example in Ephesians 5:20 where he says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's not just say thank you, but be thankful. See, thanksgiving should be genuine. Or as Brother Tom Payne says, genuine. Now, Christmas is coming up, and there's going to be some re-gifting going on. You ever been to one of those parties and you're sitting around and you give out a gift and you open it and you look at them and you say, "Thank you." Or you hear something like this, "They must think I'm fat." Thanksgiving, now we're talking about thanksgiving to God. It's genuine. And what Paul's saying here is, in one place he wrote, he said, "I've learned how to be abased and to abound. Therewith, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." Because what we need to understand as Christians is that God knows what we need. And the Bible teaches us that godliness with contentment is great gain. Brother Perry showed me a poem last Sunday about how a little, written by a 14-year-old boy. He said, "You know, every time it was summer, I was wishing it was fall. Every time it was fall, I was wishing it was winter. Every time it was winter, I was wishing it was spring. Every time it was spring, I was wishing it was summer. I got older and I realized I never got what I wanted." Do you know that a lot of people go through life just like that? That's why we need to understand a bigger house is not the answer. A new car is not the answer. Going shopping for the new dress or pocketbook or the new gun or the new golf clubs or the new fishing pole, that's not the answer. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be thankful, genuine to God for what God has done in your life. It's an expression of the attitude. It is, as an expression of the attitude, it is a desired character trait. Now here's the problem we have. And it's the problem that a lot of times the truth is our children have. And as parents, we have to work hard to keep this from becoming a negative character trait. Is we're so blessed, we forget to be thankful. Just like the little thing we showed, we forget about how important toothpaste is. We forget about how blessed we are to have rolls of toilet paper in the closet. You know, they mention in the shoeboxes one thing that the kids really need is just a spoon. So that they can have a spoon that when they eat, they have something to eat with so they don't have to eat with their hands. And when we begin to think about how good God's been to us, here's the problem. Christmas is coming up. I imagine your kids have the same problem mine do, and you have the same problem. Well, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I'm not sure. We've got everything. See, it's sad but true, but nowadays kids have got so much, if it's not something they want, they're things that'll sit in their room till the next Christmas and never even get opened. Amen. See, thankfulness is a desired character trait. I want my children to be thankful, not take it for granted. Now, we say that about our children, but where do they learn it from? Pretty much learn everything from us. That's why the scripture tells us, "And you fathers, provoke them not to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." It's an expression of attitude that needs to be genuine. And then the last one, not only do they tell you, not only do they act like it, but they show it. Well, what do you mean by that? And I want to read in Psalms chapter 116. To show it is they render again. It is the expression of action. So we've had the expression of voice, the expression of attitude. Well, what is the expression of action? In Psalms 116, verse number 12, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His enemies, of all His people." Then you go down to the 17th verse. It says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people." He said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me. Well, what does it mean to render? And I began to look at that. I looked it up, and I didn't find anything that I think lines up with the lessons that we see in the Word of God. But if you look at it here in this scripture, it says a couple of different times, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. In Psalms 56, in verse number 12 and 13, it says, Thy vows are upon me, O God, and I will render praises unto thee. Or thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And when I look at that scripture and it lines up with the other, the word vows is there and render praise. And I begin to think about something as Christians, and this is sometimes I believe what people don't really think about when you become a Christian. When you become a Christian, yes, Christ Jesus died for your sins, and he loves you and he'll save you. But when you become a Christian, you're not your own anymore. That's what the Word of God teaches us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22 says, For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So who runs the church? Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 19, it says what? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. That's the precious blood of Jesus, by the way, was the price. It says, Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So my vows and render praises, you know, I should basically recognize that I'm not my own anymore. I'm His. And everywhere I go, see, when you're saved by the grace of God, the Bible teaches us that our body is the temple of the Lord. Everywhere we go, we take Him, and everything I do, I expose my Lord to it. He says, I'm going to pay my vows unto the Lord. And then, I believe the render is an expression of action or deeds. And I begin to think about a story, and I preached on this several weeks ago, the story of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a man who had much to be thankful for. He was a good king, and God had blessed him. But Isaiah the prophet came to him one day, and he said, Set your house in order, or you're going to die. But the scripture says that as Isaiah the prophet was walking out, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed. He got in touch with God. And he prayed, and the Bible says that the Lord added 15 years to his life. Well, how? See, Isaiah, who was sent by God, was walking out. Before he could fully leave, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he came back and told Hezekiah, he said, God has heard your prayer. And he's going to add 15 years to your life. But if you look at the scripture in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24 and 25, it says, In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again, according to the benefit. What does it say? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? It says, But Hezekiah rendered not again, according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now if you look at the 26th verse, and we don't have that, but if you look at it, it does say that Hezekiah repented and God turned his wrath. But folks, I've seen things very much like this, and I mentioned this once before here. You know, I grew up a pastor's son. I can remember going to visit people, and we'd go to the funeral homes, and you know, we were in church and we were in revival. And I remember one time I had an aunt who had basically been sent home to die. And I can remember going to her house. She lived over in Powder Springs. And I remember this so vividly. And you know, sometimes God gives you lessons. But I remember going in and my dad was standing by the bed and I was just a boy. I was standing at the door. I was small. But I can remember my aunt squeezing my dad's hand and she was crying. And she said, If you'll just pray for me If God will just lift me up and let me get up one more time, she said, I promise. I'll go to church. I'll serve God. I'll live the rest of my life for God. And it just went on and on. And my dad kept trying to calm her down. And he prayed for her because the doctor said, you're not going to get up again. But guess what? She got up again. It wasn't long. We got the call. She's better. She's getting up. She's doing good. But you know what? She forgot what she said. I remember that, and I won't tell you, I never talked to my dad about it. I just remembered. I just watched. She never remembered what she said. You know what she did not do? She did not render again. That's why it needs to come out of the mouth. It needs to be an attitude. But I want to tell you, it needs to be something you do. If you're thankful for God, it ought to show in the life that you live. It ought to show in your presence. It ought to show in your giving. It ought to show in your service. If you're thankful, show that you're thankful. If I look at my wife and say, honey, I'm so thankful for you. You keep the house clean. My wife does. I don't know how she does it all. You keep these boys. I don't know how in the world. You wash these uniforms for basketball every day. I mean, I know us boys are messy. And if I look at her and I say, honey, I'm so thankful for you. You got $50 so I can go out with my girlfriend. Hey, how do you think God feels? When we come before Him and we say, God, I thank You, but I'm going out that door and I'm going to serve another God because things are good right now. That's the way people live their life a lot of times. See, it comes out of the mouth. It's in our attitude, but it'll be rendered again. I'm thankful to God. And I come in here this morning with this message on my heart, and I want to tell you something. I felt unworthy to even preach it. I felt unworthy to even preach it because He's been better to me than I've been to Him. He's loved me more than I've loved Him. He's shown me mercy when I thought that I didn't even deserve mercy. Have you ever come before the Lord and prayed asking for mercy but don't even feel worthy? The truth is you ought to. Because He's a holy God. And here's what we ought to do, the last thing. I will worship. I'm going to worship. Do you know we were created, human beings were created for worship. And I don't care what you have in this world. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care what you accomplish. Without worship and a relationship with God, there will be a void in your life. Now, there's a lot of people running around out there that don't even realize what the void is because they never give God the opportunity. But without worship and in heart-to-heart relationship with the living God, you will have a void. In Psalms 100, in the first part of the first verse, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands or all the earth. Lift up singing to Him. You know, I like to see it when people get together and sing, and they're not trying to listen to how it sounds, but they're doing this. And they're praising God, and they're lifting up a joyful noise unto the Lord. The latter part of the verse says, come before His presence with singing. Now, my wife knows if I appreciate her or not. I don't have to tell her. You know, it's kind of like this. People know if you love them or not. You don't have to tell them. People know if you appreciate them or not. God knows if you're thankful or not. And I appreciate Him. And the last thing I will do, in Psalms 101b, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And I believe what we should do there is walk in obedience. Now, I want to tell you something. God has blessed us, folks. When you look around the world, and I know that people complain about this and they complain about that, and, you know, we don't know what we're going to do over here and we don't know what we're going to do over there. Have we forgotten how much God's blessed us? Have we forgotten the blessings that we have? Have we forgotten the goodness that God has poured, just opened the windows of heaven and poured on this nation? We got so much to be thankful for. The most important thing you'll ever do in your life is be saved by the grace of God. There's nothing more important than that. You say, well, I haven't thanked the Lord. And I want to tell you this, and we're going to ask him to come with a verse of song. You know, in order to really thank him, there's a verse of scripture that says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Then it says, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But you can't come before him into his presence if you don't know him. You can't talk to him if you don't know him. And what I believe God wants more than anything else, and I think this would be the greatest Thanksgiving for anybody, is to come to know Jesus. And if you hadn't thanked him, there's a song that Brother Keith sang sometimes that says, I just came to talk with you, Lord. It says, maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and 1,000 teardrops will fall. But until I face another task, I have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. If you don't know him, we're going to give you an opportunity. The altars are open. And maybe this morning, you just need to come thank him. Thank him for so many blessings. Rise to your feet as they get ready to sing.
Your glory, God.
I'm thankful for this church. You know, I've had conversations with my wife and a couple of people here that a lot of you and all of you, I wish I had known you longer. You ever think about that? And then sometimes I even think about how much time, because we're not here forever, that God's going to give us even to share. But here's something else I'm thankful for, and I was thinking about this. There's going to be a reunion in heaven. We're going to have plenty of time to express to God how thankful we are. We'll be able to celebrate and praise Him and give Him the glory. And that dad that I miss, been gone since 2006. Long time. I'm going to get to talk to him. Even some of those that I didn't even get to meet that I wished I had. I'm going to get to talk to him. Now, folks, I'm thankful for that. You see, as Christians, this is not vain. We're not just here. This is not just coming together for a club. We serve a living God that's got a place for us. And one day, we're going to be with him. Remember, right after church today, we have the bake sale. We are going to have Awana tonight. And I think this is store night for our Awana kids. They get to get stuff. And we are going to have a Bible study tonight on the book of Ruth. And then remember our service Tuesday night. I'd like to invite everybody back. And celebrate recovery Monday night. Come see the youth do this drama if you didn't get to. And when you have Thanksgiving with your family this week, you know, there ought to be a time when you can come together and let bygones be bygones. To be forgiven, maybe not even bring stuff up. Just join hands around the table and thank God for his blessings. Brother Tommy, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer, please?
My God.